Praise God. This is another Word of Faith Netcast. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and I'm glad you could join me once again here on the Netcast. And we're going to be talking about some really exciting things this week and some things that are very important. Things that I believe you, as a believer, need to be thinking about, meditating on. Some of it I believe you already know about, because I believe that the folks that listen to the Word of Faith Netcast are spiritually attuned, spiritually aware, and you know, we just got the best viewers and listeners out there, praise God. So I just believe that you are already aware and are sensing some of the things that we're going to be talking about. So let's get into the Word. Let's go into, I've got my electronic Bible here, eSword. As you know, I love to use eSword. And we're going to be reading out of the King James this week in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let's go to verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, and before we go even any further, let's remember that what we're about to read here is first of all. The first thing that he's encouraging Christians to do is what we're about to read. Now, that ought to pique your interest right there. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. But then he gets specific. For kings, for all who are in authority, that there's a reason why we pray for kings and those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Then he goes on to make another statement. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Amen. Now we know that the Scripture, and we've read the Scripture before, this is not new to us, but we know the Scripture exhorts us to pray for our leadership. Now that's leadership that can be the president of our country, of whatever country you may live in, your king, your president, your prime minister, you know, whatever the leader of the country is, pray for that individual. Pray for the Congress, the Senate, local state government officials, judges, all those in authority. Do you know teachers in the public school system are in authority over your children? So you ought to be praying for them. This is anyone that occupies a position of authority. Now, why do we pray first for all men, amen, and then secondarily for those in authority? Well, as I said, there's a reason there. And the reason that's given is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, I guess it's been a month or so ago now. I started to say a few weeks ago, but it may even be a few months ago at this point. I taught a message called The Mystery of Lawlessness. And I encouraged you last week particularly to go back and listen to that message on the mystery of lawlessness. It's on our website. You can go to wofm.org. Go to the Messages by Dr. Bill button there at the top, on the top row. Click that. It's on the second row down. Click that, and then you'll be able to find, by scrolling down, the message on the mystery of lawlessness. And in that message, I talked about the fact that the spirit of lawlessness is already at work in our nation. It's already at work in the world. It's been at work since the beginning of the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last days. But since the beginning of the last days, the spirit of lawlessness has been at work. Well, here it says, we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, that we have order, that we have peace, and that we be able to live godly lives. Now that is a laudable goal, and that's something we ought to be working toward. Amen? But how do we do that? Well, first of all, we pray for those that are in authority. Now the reason is, people who are elected to positions of authority have the ability to affect our lives. Now this is why I believe that you as a believer, your friends, the people around you, your family, you ought to have serious discussions about who you choose to be your leader. Now, we've got an election coming up in just a very short period of time. As I record this, it's probably just a little over a week and a couple of days that we have an election coming up. Now, you might say, yeah, well, it's a midterm election. It's not that important. It's critically important, critically important. You're going to be voting for and choosing the leaders of your country and your state and your local authorities and your judges, all the people who have the potential of affecting your life and whether you lead it in godliness and honesty under a legally constituted system of government. Now, I know I speak to people as I do this netcast all over the world. You're in countries that there isn't a legal, sound, duly constituted government. And for that, I am really sorry that you are in that situation. But I tell you what, you can pray for those that are in authority. And you may say, the leaders of my country, Dr. Bill, I don't want to be praying for. Those are the very ones you need to be praying for. See, the Bible says something really interesting. The Bible tells us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And we have multiple examples in Scripture. The one that comes to mind right now is King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was not a godly king. He did not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was very much against any of the purposes of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right? But the heart of that king was in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord dealt with him directly, and that king came to an understanding of the power of the Lord and came to an understanding of what he needed to do, and he was not, quote, a believer, okay? Whatever leader is over your country, whatever government is over your country, you should be praying for that leader because the heart of that leader is in the hands of the Lord. You say, yeah, but the government over my country is not godly. Well, all the more reason that you should be praying for that leadership. Why? That you may lead quiet, peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Now, here's another reason that you need to pray along these lines. We have a mission here on the earth. We've been given a time here to accomplish some very important things. I believe every Christian has a destiny. That's why I love that song that we play for our theme, Destined to Win. We have a destiny. And that destiny is something that God has for us to do. There are certain things that God has for us to do that we will not be able to accomplish unless we have lives that are in godliness and honesty, peaceable lives. You see, a lot of times, Satan has tried to disrupt a spiritual revival by creating a situation of war and of turmoil where there is no peace, where there is no honesty, where it is not a godly situation. And he's been able to throttle or choke off a move of revival. He did that in World War I, did that in World War II, other wars. It's just critical that we pray and believe that a time of turmoil and a time of war, and I'm not talking about a war like a shooting war necessarily. Yeah, that he's used that in the past. But there are wars of words. There are wars of ideas. There are a lot of people that say we are in a cultural war. You know, and by that they mean that the Judeo-Christian foundation of our country is being directly challenged by those that want to have a secular and a humanist form of government. And the forces that are at work to do that have been working in that direction for a very, very, very long period of time and have been doing it in a way that's just very incremental, very slow. And now that seems to be ramping up. So there's all kinds of war situations. It doesn't have to be a war that is a fighting war, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, those forces that are spiritual forces. Those spiritual forces are very real. They're around us all the time. Last week we talked about the fact that we don't see the spiritual realm around us, but they're there. Those spiritual beings are there, whether they're angels, whether they're demons, powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, they're there. We need to pray, and we need to believe that those forces are torn down, that try to adversely affect our government, adversely affect our nation, and we need to exercise our right to vote. It's critical. It's critical right now for Christians, serious, sincere Christians, to take a stand. And I'm not talking about taking signs and holding signs and marching. I'm not talking about that. The best way you can do it is, number one, first of all, to pray for all men everywhere and for our leaders all the way up and down the line, whether it be from the president, Congress, all the way down to local leaders. Your pastor is an authority in the local church. Pray for all those that are in authority, that you may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. That's number one. That's first of all. But then beyond that, you got to vote. Christians, you just got to vote. Now, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I wouldn't if I could. And there are laws in place that say that we can't tell you who to vote for anyway. But I wouldn't if I could, because that's not a morally correct thing to do. It's not my point and my purpose to tell you who to vote for. But I do believe that as a believer, as a Christian, when you go to vote, you can make a decision from your heart, not from your pocketbook, not from your head, from your heart, from your spirit man, who you need to vote for. Let God lead you and guide you. Pray, seek the Lord. Don't take it lightly. Oh, but Dr. Bill, it's a midterm election. It's not a big deal. It's a very big deal. A lot of times the people who are elected in midterm elections, because there are so few people that turn out, they're the very ones that down the line have the greatest effect. Did you know judges these days have a greater effect on your direct personal life than ever before? It's because a lot of judges are legislating, in quotes, from the bench. That's not their legally constituted position to do that, but unfortunately they're doing it. And so you need to be aware that the person that you're voting for today may be the one that is essentially affecting the law of the land down the road. So you got to pray. You got to believe that God will direct you supernaturally to vote for the people that are critically important in these days to get into office, whatever that office is. Now you may say, well, Dr. Bill, my one little old vote. I mean, I know that old guy at work that's fussing and fuming and voting for the wrong person. That's going to cancel out my vote. That's not the way to think about it. Because if you don't vote and cancel out his vote, then you are, in effect, voting whatever his desire is, because you haven't canceled it out. Besides, we don't need to think in a 1, 2, 3 situation. We need to think in a thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands situation. There's a lot of believers out there. There's a lot of Christians out there. If we all voted according to the Word of God, if we all voted according to the Spirit of God, listening to our heart, not to our head or our pocketbook, things in this country would change. Things in your country would change. Whatever country you may be in, you may be listening from who knows where in the world. Doesn't matter. You have the effect, when you vote, of changing your world. Now, we know from our studies of the Word that our words change things. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We've been talking about that over the last few weeks and months. Well, in the same way, the way we vote affects the cycle of natural events in our life politically, socially, in our country, and it has an effect. It has a cyclical effect. So if you don't like what's going on in your government, first, you need to pray. We just read that scripture. Absolutely, that is the first thing you have to do. You have to pray. Secondly, you have to vote. Now, there's a term in the natural. It's called having some skin in the game. You probably heard that term used before. What does it mean? It means when you get out there and actually do something, actually get involved, you may scrape yourself and get a little skin in the game. Amen. The way you do that in this arena is to vote. You've got to vote or you don't have skin in the game. You don't have personal investment. Just sitting by the sidelines and griping is not having skin in the game. It's not being involved. Your vote is a precious, precious gift that you've been given. Now here I want to talk directly to those believers that are here in the United States of America. The United States of America was founded as what was called the Great Experiment. Men and women gave their lives, gave of their fortunes, gave of their skin in the game, so to speak, to create this nation as a nation that was one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This nation was a grand experiment in what would happen if believers, Christians, Judeo-Christian believers, stood together, locked arms together, and said, "We stand for liberty, for freedom, and for a godly nation." And we became that godly nation. You go back and look at the real history, not the history they've made up, but you go back and look at the real history of this nation, you'll find it was founded in prayer. It was founded by men and women who were believers and who were on a mission. They had a destiny. They had a destiny that God put before them. And I believe that one of the key things that this nation was brought into being for was to have a place where it was peaceful, we could live in godliness and honesty, and in that environment we'd be able to grow and develop as believers and reach the world with the gospel. The United States of America sends out more missionaries, more gospel materials, more books, more videos like this on the internet. I mean, I'm sitting here in my living room. I am free as an individual to sit here in my living room with my computer and this camera, and I can transmit a video to the entire world. I know for a fact we have people that are listening in Germany, France, China, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, everywhere throughout the world now, an internet signal can reach, an internet connection can go. And this simple ability to reach the world through this medium that I'm using right now is a miracle of God. It's a miracle. And I don't treat it lightly. I believe it is not, how can I put this? It's not a happenstance that this technology was created, that this technology was placed at our disposal. Because I can talk to you right now, just like you were sitting here in my living room with me, and you may be across the world. You may be literally all the way on the other side of the planet, and I may never meet you in the natural here on earth. I may not be able to actually talk to you till we get to heaven, but I can talk to you right now, and I can teach you the word right now because of everything that's gone before, because of all the history, because all those men and women gave their lives and fortunes and honor to found this country, which in turn then developed technologies, which in turn then created the ability for us to do just what we're doing right here and reaching the world, the entire world, with a technology like this and with the Word of God. See, the technology is fascinating. It's particularly fascinating to me as a person who is a technologist professionally. But that's not the critical thing. The critical thing is the message. The message. That's what's important. Getting this word out, whether it be through a tract, a little piece of paper, or whether it be through electronic means like Word of Faith Radio, reaching the world with internet radio, or whether it be this video that you're watching right now streamed across the internet. The miracle that we can share this comes from the fact that we have a country and other countries. There are countries that are part of this, part of what God's doing. But the United States is right at the center of what God's doing in this last of the last days to reach the world with the gospel, to reach the world with all the capabilities we have. And you are the key to that by, first of all, remember, the first thing is pray. We don't have to take up arms. We don't have to get in the streets. We don't have to carry signs. Now, if you've been out there carrying a sign, maybe you've been one of those Tea Party folks, I don't know, that's fine. That is perfectly within your rights as a believer and as an American citizen to state what you believe. That's fine. I'm not saying anything against that. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is you don't have to be like those people over in Europe, for instance, that are rioting and creating all the turmoil and all that other stuff to have change occur in your nation. You've got the overwhelming tool of prayer, the overwhelming, transforming, supernatural power of God through your words spoken and through your prayers spoken to God. Because the Word of God says in the book of Isaiah that we return His Word to Him. And that word that is returned to Him is not void of the power that it takes to bring that word to pass. We've talked about that over the last few weeks and months as well. This is a critical hour. It is an absolutely critical hour. And I believe in your heart as a believer, you know that. And you sense that. You've been praying about that. You've been stirred to prayer concerning some of these things. And because of that, I ask you right now, talk to your family, talk to your friends, talk to people at church, at work, whatever sphere of influence you have, talk to those people about sincerely praying, getting the mind of God, and going to vote. You've got to get out there and vote. And if the day comes and goes and you haven't voted, brethren, oh my, it will be a shame. It will be an absolute shame. Because as a believer, it's part of your civic duty, but I believe also your spiritual duty to pray, get the mind of God, and then go vote. Now, every year I talk about this during an election time frame because it is such a critical thing with regard to getting out the gospel. It's not because I'm, you know, politically motivated. I've never told you anything about my political orientation other than to say that I'm always for God. I'm always for His Word. But I tell you this, whatever your background is, whatever your orientation is, I believe as a believer, you can pray and you can find out what God wants you to do, and you can do it. But you need to do it. Don't let it come and go. Now, my family, this is the first election that my son, who just turned 18 in August, first time he was old enough to vote, and he and my wife Belinda and I all went and did an early voting trip. We made a little adventure out of it. We went to Thomasville, where we would vote, and they had early voting going on, and our county is Davidson County and near High Point, North Carolina, and so we voted in the Davidson County elections, early elections, and we went there, we voted, went out and had lunch, just made a day of it. It was fun. But since we've got our votes in, I've done my part early. Now, the day's coming when you may have to stand in line to do it, but don't let that deter you. Go vote early if you can. But if you have to wait until the time frame of, even if you have to stand in line, do it, do it, do it. Because it is critical that you stand up and be counted in this time. Amen? And I just wanted to share all that with you and share with you why I think it's important for us as believers to participate. We've been talking about the koinonia, the participation. We need to participate in our governmental systems as well, because we are the salt of the earth. We are the preservative that keeps this country and this earth together and on a course that will lead to godliness, peace, and honesty. Amen. Praise God. You can write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. Of course, you can also write me at my email address, Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Join us next time, and remember until then to fulfill the Word of God.